If you could only get one altcoin right now, get this one. I'm talking about the coin we believe has the strongest upside potential in today's market. After analyzing hundreds of altcoins, guys, this is the opportunity that keeps me awake with excitement all night. So here's why. It's got the perfect combination of strong fundamentals, proven team, and a catalyst that could send it significantly higher in the coming months. Yet it's still flying under the radar of many retail investors, which means you've still got time to get positioned before the crowd catches on. Look, we believe this is the perfect time to get in on this specific coin. So to get the full breakdown, just go to www.cryptorevolution.com/coin right now. The window of opportunity will not stay open forever.
Welcome to the Crypto 101 podcast, presented by Gemini, your bridge to the future of money.
All right, everyone. We are joined by Jesse Knutson. He is the head of operations at Bitfinex Securities. Jesse, welcome, and it's good to have you.
Great. That's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. We appreciate you coming on here. It's funny, I was talking to Jesse just before we began, and I was like, where are you coming in from? Because I'm waking up at the time of making this, and it's morning time. It's like 8 a.m. over here. And he's like, yeah, I'm getting ready to wind down. It's 10 p.m. over in there. So we really do appreciate you coming on. At opposite hours, man. All the way from Taiwan, right?
I've actually been in Taiwan now longer than I was ever in Canada. So I'm Canadian. I've been in Taiwan 25 years. So more than half my life, which is pretty surreal.
What's keeping you over there? Is it like the weather, the community, or the crypto freedom?
Well, the wife, the kids, the dogs, the house.
That'll do it.
That's what it is now. Originally, when I graduated from university, it was to learn Chinese. So that was a long time ago, and turned out to be pretty good advice from a professor that I had at the time.
Yeah. Wow, man. Well, that's awesome. Those are all really good reasons too. And, from what I've heard, it's a beautiful place to live, but nonetheless, we appreciate you hopping on with here later at night. For people who don't know, Jesse has a big background when it comes to not only crypto and obviously playing a role in one of the like oldest, most popular names in crypto, and being part of, arguably one of the largest ecosystems, because you have the iFinex ecosystem, which is kind of like the parent company to Bitfinex Securities and Bitfinex the Exchange and Tether and all these other critical parts of the crypto ecosystem. And so it's cool because I think we get a view from a couple of different perspectives given your background. But, just give us an intro. Give us an intro to yourself and what got you started and what brought you into crypto in the first place. And we'll move from there.
Yeah, I mean, my background, as you said, is in traditional finance. So I came over to Taiwan initially to learn Chinese, as we said at the beginning, on a recommendation from a professor. Did that, ended up working on both sides of the strait. So in China for a bit, studied in China, in Taiwan, kind of found my way, fell into investment banking, actually. So they needed people that could speak Chinese, that could talk to companies, and then also could talk to clients that were mostly overseas. So I worked for Barclays in sales and trading, and then later worked at Macquarie, was head of ECM for Macquarie here in Taiwan. And during that period, got interested in Bitcoin. So I guess a lot of it was around the fallout from the financial crisis and talking to clients, talking to coworkers, and just constantly trying to figure out, how does this not continue to, how does this not end in tears eventually? It didn't feel like any of the problems that blew up during the financial crisis were actually solved. And so we were always kind of looking around for different assets and, different interesting things that could kind of fit into that puzzle. And we just stumbled across Bitcoin. And I was lucky to have, another coworker at Macquarie at the time, we were at Barclays at the time, and a guy at JP Morgan. And we kind of dug into it together and began to learn about Bitcoin and understand it. And then eventually began to be the Bitcoin guy within the bank and pushing all of these ideas and doing different things. And through that, I was able to kind of leverage the bank's name and meet a lot of people. And, in 2016 or 17, we did a conference in Hong Kong in the Macquarie office. JP Morgan was doing blockchain, not Bitcoin. And we did Bitcoin, not blockchain. And we had Adam back. We had the CEO of Tether and Bitfinex at the time, JL. We had a ton of people that were like really big names in the industry and came by and spoke to, a closed door meeting of maybe 70 institutional investors. Did a bunch of stuff like that. We made the first investment into a Bitcoin mining company, I think, by a Western bank in 2018. But after the market kind of peaked, it was clear that, the appetite within the firm to do anything else in Bitcoin was just not there anymore. So I decided to jump into the industry. I found my way over to Blockstream. I was friends with Samson Mo. He introduced me to Adam, who I'd also met at that conference previously, and joined there as VP of Financial Products. And we started putting together different products built on Bitcoin and backed by Bitcoin and Bitcoin mining, the first of which was the Blockstream mining note. And then eventually found my way over to Bitfinex Securities.
And it's funny, especially that JP Morgan story, because they've come full circle with that Jamie Dimon interview a couple of weeks back, where he's like, "I was wrong. It's here to stay. It's real." And we had this kind of like aha moment where it's like, even Jamie Dimon, who's been one of the biggest bears, like even he's come around. And I'm sure you've seen a lot more of this, where you've talked to a lot of these people, they weren't as interested. Fast forward to the end of 2025 now, and it does kind of feel like they've come full circle to a degree.
I think 100%. I mean, in those previous cycles, like 2017, those were kind of scary times. It's the around the Bitcoin fork and all of that, because it did feel quite existential to Bitcoin. And when Bitcoin rolled over hard in 2017, people were still saying, it's going to go to zero, it's over. Fast forward to 2021, and then since then, nobody says that Bitcoin is going to go to zero anymore. You don't hear that. So I think things have really changed a lot. And then on the security tokenization side, we've been Bitfinex Securities. We've been in this business since 2021. We first got our license, and even then, when we spoke to our regulator and we're kind of pitching the business, I think they liked the idea, but they were somewhat skeptical. They thought it was an interesting idea, and I was over recently in Astana, Kazakhstan, where one of the jurisdictions where we're regulated. And the regulators are, very happy that they now have they're a global leader in security token frameworks. So everything has changed a lot, and I think a lot of it is, traditional finance has really kind of consensus has really caught up to this view that we had a couple of years ago.
Are you interested in effortlessly growing your Bitcoin portfolio? I sure am. The Gemini credit card earns you Bitcoin back on every purchase. Use it just like any other credit card when you buy lunch, gas, or even just your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. All that with no annual fee, and right now you can grab a $200 Bitcoin welcome bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stack. Guys, you've heard us talk about Gemini now every single episode, and we love and appreciate that they've been a sponsor because we use their products, whether it's the exchange or the card. They have been leaders in the space for so long. So if you're interested in earning crypto rewards for your everyday spending, go to gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. See the link in the description for more information regarding rates and fees.
Issued by WebBank. To qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Some exclusions to instant rewards apply. This is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. Check Gemini's website for more details on rates and fees.
New year usually means new devices. Phones, laptops, tablets, from grandma all the way down to the kids, or at least spending more time online. That's been a good reminder to actually think about digital security again. I've been using Webroot, specifically their Total Protection Plan, which is an all-in-one option if you want coverage beyond just antivirus. What stood out to me is that it combines real-time antivirus protection against things like malware and phishing scams, identity monitoring with alerts, and this is a big one, up to $1 million in expense reimbursement for eligible out-of-pocket costs if identity theft ever becomes an issue. Total Protection also includes tools like a password manager and web threat protection that blocks malicious sites before you visit them, plus options to protect multiple devices and even family members, all without slowing your system down or throwing constant pop-ups at you. So here's the deal. New year, new device. Whether you're upgrading tech or sticking with what you've got, now's the time to protect all your devices at 60% off with Webroot's trusted cybersecurity solutions. Visit webroot.com/crypto101 and get 60% off. Again, that's webroot.com, W-E-B, ROOT.com/crypto101 for 60% off. This offer is only available through the Crypto 101 link, so make sure you use it. Webroot.com/crypto101 and get up to 60% off their total protection plan. This year, choose protection that's right for you and live a better digital life with Webroot. A new year, colder days. This is the moment your winter wardrobe really has to deliver. If you're craving a winter reset, start with pieces truly made to last season after season. Quince brings together premium materials, thoughtful design, and enduring quality, so you stay warm, look sharp, and feel your best all season long. Quince has everything you need. Their outerwear is especially impressive. Think down jackets, wool coats, and Italian leather outerwear that keeps you warm when it's actually cold. Each piece is made from premium materials by trusted factories that meet rigorous standards for craftsmanship and ethical production. Plus, they cut out the middleman, so you're getting awesome prices. The wool coat that I got from Quince is super stylish. It's holding up way better than other coats I've bought before, and those coats were way more expensive. It looks good, it keeps me warm, and I didn't have to drop a fortune on it. Plus, their online website is super fun to shop on. It's fun looking to peruse, to look at their outerwear, but also they have super cool shirts, workout stuff. They even have a home section. You can get stuff for your house. Their website is awesome. You have to go check it out. So guys, refresh your winter wardrobe with Quince. Go to quince.com/crypto101 for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada too. That's Quince, quince.com/crypto101. Free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/crypto101.
Absolutely. And I want to get into all of that and talk more about that. But let's first go through Bitfinex Securities, because we have a global audience. We've had probably a handful of our users go through and use the Bitfinex exchange. We've had a lot of our users probably interact with Tether at one point or another. But we're here to talk about Bitfinex Securities here. So give us the high level overview and how it fits into the whole IFINX ecosystem.
Yeah, Bitfinex Securities is the RWA and STO platform within the Tether and Bitfinex group of companies. And we do kind of two core businesses. We do primary offerings and we offer secondary market trading. So our whole kind of very high level idea is to put investors and issuers in much more direct contact, to kind of take out all of the middlemen and let them interact a lot more directly, efficiently, and faster and cheaper. And then kind of along that, well, Tether last year also announced the tokenization business Hadron. So they're our default for actually doing tokenization and for working with issuers to let the issuers manage their own tokens. Once those tokens are created, they come onto Bitfinex Securities, and then we can do capital raises and open up secondary markets for people.
Yeah, I mean, tokenization has exploded, and it feels like every other interview we have a guest from all over the industry saying, like, you got to pay attention to tokenization. And, you know, obviously you have Larry Fink talking about it, and Diamond, and you have Vlad Tenev from Robinhood, and you have all these other big guys who are from the TradFi side, and they're all like, yeah, I mean, we think this is the future and we want to get plugged into it. What do you think are the most impactful or important parts of tokenization to watch out for?
Yeah, I think it's a no-brainer, really. I mean, and I think that this is definitely the way that markets move eventually. I think it's probably somewhat inevitable. You know, if you look at the benefits of tokenization for investors or for traders, for big guys, I think it's things like real-time settlement, you know, and 24/7, 365 trading. You know, in my whole finance career was here in Taiwan. If you sell your TSMC on Friday, it's T+2 settlement. So you don't get your cash until the following week, right? So if you're a hedge fund, you want to get your funds as soon as possible. If it's real-time settlement, that's great. Then you can go back and churn it again. And, you know, part of the reason we've seen this with Bitcoin recently, people dump Bitcoin on Saturday because that's what they can sell, right?
Yep.
But I'm sure people would prefer to sell the stuff where there's actually news. So if it's, you know, whatever, it's something about, you know, China, the supply chain, they want to sell their Apple stock. They'd much rather trade that more directly. So I think those are the benefits. So probably pull in the big guys over time. For investors, I think it's regaining more control over your assets, right? And I think this is one of the ways that we differentiate what we're doing with what a lot of the kind of the TradFi players are doing. You know, there's a lot of smoke and mirrors out there. I think there's a lot of tokenization. I think one of the important things is that investors are able to take their assets off the platform. They're able to self-custody that. You're able to trade it peer-to-peer. ping it to other platforms for arbitrage. I think these are all the benefits for investors and giving people more control over their assets. And then I think also inclusion is a huge part of it, right? So for people, you know, like a lot of your audience in North America, they have no problem getting access to, you know, US public equities or stuff like that. Some parts of the world struggle. So I think, you know, just as Tether was very, very successful by bringing a better alternative to a lot of emerging markets, you know, countries, small and mid-sized countries outside of the G7, I think that could be one of the big drivers for security tokens as well, is that people just don't have access to higher quality investment products. And those jurisdictions, they also really are really hungry for capital. Like the banks just don't lend. And that has knock-on effects throughout their whole economy. So I think that's kind of some of the interesting applications for it going forward.
Yeah, do you think that tokenization has like a different role depending on maybe where you are in the world? Because
100%.
it kind of seems like that's the case. And I guess that makes sense, right? You know, there's all sorts of different needs depending upon where you are, but it kind of sounds like that's what we're getting towards.
Yeah, 100%. I think you've got like these different jurisdictions, right? So we're licensed in two kind of, you know, what people in traditional finance would say are like peripheral jurisdictions. We're in the AIFC, which is a financial center in Astana, Kazakhstan, in Central Asia. And then we have the first license in El Salvador. We have license 0001, which is pretty cool. What both of those jurisdictions have in common is that they've got pretty smart leadership. The policymakers are familiar with the technology. They're familiar with Bitcoin. In Kazakhstan, you know, that was a huge mining hub for a number of years, right? They were, I think, number two or three for global hash rate. So people there saw Bitcoin become very big, mining become very big, become accretive to the economy. So they didn't have those worries about like, what if Bitcoin goes to zero? That kind of wasn't their thinking on it. And then of course, El Salvador is a very, very unique situation with a very young president who's got kind of a real view on how to pull his country out of the troubles of the past. So they've got vision and they've got understanding of the technology, which I think is pretty different than a lot of the G7 countries. And then also they don't have capital markets. So the capital markets in both of those jurisdictions are not strong. It's a really small percentage of GDP. So you don't get that pushback from the really deeply entrenched incumbents that you get in most of the G7. So I think it is really different. And then what's happened is that you get much more flexible jurisdictions and you get these kind of commercially viable, you know, commercially viable regulatory oversight. So you could actually grow a business and get big and you know, hopefully eventually become accretive to the economy.
Yeah. You know, I'm interested to learn a little bit more about like how the corporate world and the rest, like, I mean, how do you say, like, what is the corporate structure from the rest of the world outside of the US kind of look at crypto? Like, how do they look at it? What do they think of it? Because oftentimes over here, you know, obviously I'm from the US, a lot of our team's from the US. We talk to a lot of people and they're like, oh, they're always trying to talk about how this affects or impacts or relates to the US market. And I think you have a little bit more of like a decentralized view because you talk to companies and countries from all over the world, especially on the other side of the planet from us. Like, what are their views? Do you think it kind of aligns with a lot of the stuff that we've heard from the US and the traditional financial side over here? Are they looking at different things, the same things? You know, what is the big and the smart money across the planet looking at as it relates to all this?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. And I think there's been this kind of divergence in Bitcoin and crypto markets for a long time, right? For maybe most of the past decade, in that, you know, it's easy. We have a plethora of investment options if we're in most Western countries, and also payment options, right? Like payments are not a problem. So we don't really need Bitcoin or Tether, probably in a lot of these markets, right? You can get by just fine without it. I think the approach from the rest of the world is extremely practical. You know, I guess maybe you don't get so much pushback on Tether now, but maybe, you know, 5 or 6 years ago, there was quite a bit, and most of it was from the English-speaking world. You know, in Asia, in especially in Chinese-speaking Asia, Tether has been huge for a long time, right? And that's because it's a very effective tool, because people, to them, it's just a tool. They could just move assets around really quickly, really freely, and with, you know, little hassle. And I think security tokens are the same thing. It's, you know, people are struggling to access capital, whether you're in Central Asia or you're in Latin America, you want to start a business, the banks aren't lending. You know, Bitfinex Security says they can put you in touch with investors. So they don't really care too much about the tokenization part. They just care that you can help them raise capital. And I think investors are a little bit the same too. Investors look at the economics and you match those two together. You can you can earn a higher yield on some of these, like the micro financing bonds that we have on the platform. Those are the kind of things I think investors look at the commercials and some of these kind of niche assets, and that's what draws them to it.
Yeah, I mean, so looking on the horizon, what do you think the most interesting thing is? Like, there's all these different catalysts. Like, everyone believes that there's going to be a different catalyst that'll kind of cause us to have, big legs up or effect on price or adoption or all these other things. From your view, what do you think that those biggest catalysts that are kind of yet to happen are? Because it would seem as if we're still in a lot of the build-out phase, where a lot of these companies and countries and groups and banks and all these different people, they're like, hey, we're interested in this. We want to build towards this. And there's all these different ideas. But what do you think the most interesting catalysts that are yet to come?
Yeah, I think part of this is just a grind, right? That it's just a trend and it's just showing up and doing the work every day. And I think it'll happen over time. Number one, because of what I said, that I think there's significant technological advantages to what our product is that I think investors will pull them in eventually. The other part of it is the same argument in favor of Bitcoin is the demographic argument, right? That as millennials and post-millennials get older, they get more senior in their positions, they have more money, they'll just be more familiar with this technology and it's not as scary. And that's kind of what they'll expect. If you're used to trading Bitcoin on Bitfinex and then you go and trade on the Nasdaq or something and you've got fixed trading hours and T+2 and whatever it is, the other restrictions and a myriad of intermediaries, it's just like a substandard user experience, right? So people have a higher benchmark, I think, and a little bit more knowledge about what's up there. So I think part of this is just a trend that's going to play out over time, and is just going to slowly pull these two spheres, the digital asset world and the conventional securities world, that for most of the last 10 years have really been separate, is going to pull them closer together. I think in a lot of ways they're already very overlapped. But I think you're right. Like, there definitely will be like quantum leaps and exciting products that come to market. I'd like to see more of the companies within the Bitcoin and the crypto space that are private. There's a lot of giant private companies. I'd like to see them do offerings rather than going to the Nasdaq. I'd like to see more of that. I think that would be exciting. The other thing that I'm looking forward to is, we used to do a lot of depository receipts in Asia. So if you're a big Asian public company, like you're a TSMC or you're a Foxconn or whatever it is, you issue shares into the US as a depository receipt so that you can get American investors to invest. I think that tokenization can fill that niche as well, but fill it better and more broadly because you can go deeper into more jurisdictions and to more kinds of investors. So I think another exciting thing is, when big publicly listed companies start looking to tokenization to kind of fill that niche and to issue tokens alongside their conventional equity, I think that'll be really exciting. And we're probably not very far away from it.
Yeah, and to a point that you said earlier, it really doesn't seem like anyone makes this argument anymore of like, oh, crypto could just be a dud. It could all go away. It could all go to zero. It's like no one's really making that anymore.
No.
And it seems like the idea of that has kind of been tossed out the window because they all believe like this stuff's here to stay. And to a point that you just made, like this is stuff that takes a little bit of time. I think people in crypto are used to moving super fast in an
Yes.
extremely volatile manner. They want
Yeah.
things to happen overnight. And like, obviously we all want that. But I think in the real world, things do take a little bit more time than I think
Yeah.
a lot of crypto investors probably expect it to take. It always takes more time than whatever's expected. And I think the same goes for a lot of this. It's like we're seeing all the right things. We're seeing the build out and the infrastructure and the adoption and especially when it comes to tokenization. However, this isn't something that's going to be all said and done and finished by the end of this year and the next month or so.
I think it's going to play out for decades, right? And I
Yeah.
think you're going to have conventional securities markets operating in tandem with tokenized markets. There's going to be more interaction. I think eventually the tokenized ones win. I'm not sure which jurisdiction is going to win. I kind of think that most of our competitors are focused on Europe, are focused on the US. We're kind of taking the Tether playbook and we're focusing on the rest of the world.
Yeah.
And I think that that's where tokenization can really get a foothold and you can make a difference because the regulators really want you to be there, and there's a really deep need for tokenization in these markets. But I think eventually what we'll see happen is, similar to, it's kind of like the whole world is the US's sandbox. That Tether got big globally and then they look for a way to incorporate it. And I think the same thing could happen with security tokenization, where, because you have so much legacy pushback within the US, because it's such a big market, that it's slower to develop in the US, and then, it gets brought in when it becomes a really successful proof of concept outside the US.
Yeah, absolutely. And if everything does pop off, then you all get market share for the whole rest of the world outside the US. And you'll
The
have to
US is a
keep.
huge market, right? Yeah, that's the prize.
Absolutely. Well, Jesse, we appreciate you coming on. If people want to get plugged in, they want to follow what you're doing in Bitfinex Securities and everything, where can they follow you at?
Yeah, look for Bitfinex Securities on Twitter. Come check out the platform. All our information is up there.
Perfect. Well, Jesse, once again, thank you for joining us, and you'll have to keep us posted because, like you said,
Definitely.
this is the long game.
Yep. Look forward to speaking with you again.